Well, this evening we are going to look at the subject of wisdom from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. As I've mentioned previously, though we're studying through the book of Acts, we need to make sure we also grow in the Lord as well, if we want to be a witness. So tonight we are looking at a message entitled, Wisdom, Are You Getting It? Wisdom, Are You Getting It? Proverbs chapter number 4, let's look at three verses to begin with this evening. Proverbs chapter number 4, let's start with verses 5, 6 and 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. The Bible says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Let's read the rest together. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, help us to rest in your truth. And Lord, there are so many thoughts that go through our minds, so many fears, Lord, so many cares, especially when the flesh is allowed to speak instead of our hearts listening to you. And Father, we pray that we would be a people that would, Lord, seek after wisdom as that which is much more precious than anything else. Father, we pray that you would quicken us by your Spirit this evening as we look into your word. And set us upon the right paths, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. In May 2012, I heard about a 32-carat Burmese ruby and diamond ring that was part of a certain collection of a rich woman that was sold at an auction. And the pre-auction estimate for that sale was $3 to $5 million. So it's quite a range there. $3 to $5 million. Imagine if you had an heirloom from grandma. Worth that much? How many of you would easily and quickly sell it and say, hey, I'd like to cash that in? Well, the final amount that it was auctioned for was $6.7 million, and it was believed to be the most expensive ruby ever sold. I'm sure you know my point by now. The Bible, in fact, tells us something very special, doesn't it? That God's wisdom, though in man's eyes and the world's eyes, is valueless, worthless, in the Christian's eyes ought to be of much greater value than all the rubies and diamonds of this world. For the Bible tells us in Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So anything that you and I may be desired is absolutely worthless in comparison to the wisdom of God. You see, the earth, the worldly riches may offer money. They may offer pleasure, but they cannot offer the benefit, the blessing, and the protection that the Word of God gives to the soul of the believer. Amen? And that is what we need to understand when we start off our message this evening on this subject. Wisdom is necessary. God says that there is nothing to be compared to it. That's a big statement, don't you think? Nothing to be compared to it. All the things that may be desired compared to the wisdom of God is worthless. So notice with me this evening that we must get wisdom. There in verse 7, the Bible says wisdom is the, what's the next word? The principal thing. The principal thing. What does that mean? The main thing. Amen? This is the main thing. This is the first thing. The principal comes first. This needs to be first in our lives. If we are not putting God's wisdom into our lives, we are in trouble. Therefore, we must get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. James chapter 1, verse 5, of course, tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And so the Bible tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, that's not a question, that's a statement of fact. And we know that by now here at Coastline. I've mentioned it numerous times. That is a statement of fact. God isn't saying that some of you lack wisdom, some of you don't. God is saying we all lack wisdom. And because we lack wisdom, we must ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. And the question this evening is, are we getting wisdom? Are we getting wisdom? Wisdom, are you and I getting it? Well, we know we must get wisdom. What is wisdom? Notice Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. Let's make sure we aren't misled that wisdom is some sort of a mystic, a transient, unreachable, unattainable goal. Notice Proverbs chapter number 2 and verse 6. The Bible tells us, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." The Bible simplifies the subject of wisdom easily for us. God spells it out. He says wisdom is simply the knowledge and understanding of God. The knowledge and understanding of God. God gives us his wisdom in his word, and it's not complicated. It is not unreachable. Wisdom is given to us of God, and it is not hidden from us. The Bible tells us if we seek it, we will find it. If we ask, we will receive. Wisdom is not mystical. It is not hidden. It is not out of reach. And isn't that a comfort to us this evening? Why? Because so often we are overwhelmed by the issues of life. We cry out to the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And then God's Spirit cries back to us through the Word of God and says, "If you lack wisdom, ask of God." Amen. Amen? Ask of God. And so often we don't ask because, well, we've got some misunderstandings about wisdom. We know we need to get it, but we think, well, we can't. It's out of reach. The Bible tells us, notice in Proverbs chapter 1, while we're there, we'll be looking through a few different verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1 verse 20, notice how God describes wisdom in verse 20. "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets." Notice how God gives wisdom a personality. You know, God personifies wisdom. Why? Because he wants us to understand that wisdom is not hidden. Wisdom is, in fact, the Bible tells us, available out where everyone can attain to it. And so often the Bible tells us that wisdom uttereth her voice in the streets, and she standeth where? At the gates. She standeth at the gates. So not hidden behind the gates, not behind locked gates, but right there at the gates saying, "Come to me if you want wisdom." God personifies wisdom because he wants us to know that we can and we must get wisdom. We must. God gives us wisdom. And she's personified here in Proverbs 1:20 as crying out. Crying out like a public herald, like a public crier, crying out loud in the public. No point in God's word is his wisdom hidden. Now we need to seek wisdom, seek her as that which is precious. Yes, but it doesn't take much digging, amen, to dig up what God wants to show us. Amen. It may not come as we like, or it may not come in the timing we like, but don't forget, God promises to give us wisdom liberally. And as we know here at Coastline Baptist Church, if you commit to being in church, brethren, you have committed to getting wisdom through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. God says you need to be in church. Forsake her not. Forsake what not? The assembly. Forsake wisdom not also. Why? Because when we're under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, we grow in our knowledge of God and our understanding of who God is, what his plan is for our lives, and we are able to escape the dangers and pitfalls of this world. You see, we need the Word of God, not only at church, but in our daily lives. As we open up the Word of God each day, we need to believe that this is the most precious part of our day. Amen? Spending time with the Lord. You need the Lord. I need the Lord, and we must get wisdom. Last week we spoke about the Word of God and the need for God's Word. So we're being a bit more specific this evening. You know, we have 24-hour access to the mind of God. Isn't that a overwhelming thought? 24-hour access to the very mind of God. Now, there are lots of things on the internet, and I dare say it's the same thing over and over again. But when you open the Word of God, God speaks to you personally in your life
specifically, supernaturally, addressing exactly what you need miraculously through His Word. Amen? And that ought to excite you and I to get wisdom, to be in church, to be in our Bibles. Do you realize we have the same access before the throne of God? The Bible tells us because Christ rent the veil in twain, He opened up the access through His blood into the very throne of grace, into the very throne of God. And we have 24-hour access to do what? To cry out to the Lord for grace, to cry out to the Lord for wisdom. He promises that we can enter boldly. Amen. We can enter boldly and come before His presence, and then with one another we can encourage each other in God's wisdom. So my point is that we must get wisdom. And do you understand, first of all, that it's not hidden? It's not hidden. It's not mystical. If we are not getting wisdom, then we have made a choice to shut ourselves out from it, distance ourselves from it. And, you know, so often when we think about a physical appearance of someone that's wise, what comes to mind? Grey hair. That's right. And some of us get excited when we get some grey hair. Hey, I must be getting wise. You know? And amen. Amen, Brother Huey. So, wisdom. Now, there's another misconception. Wisdom is just for old people. Teenagers. You know? You can't have wisdom. And I tell you what, if you're just a teenager, if you're a child, therefore, you know, you need to wait till you get grey hair. Because only the grey-headed folks can have wisdom. And parents, sometimes that's how we think. We think our children cannot get wisdom. And that's not true at all. The Bible tells us right at the start in the book of Proverbs, notice the introduction to Proverbs, the book of wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 4, what does the Bible say? To give subtlety to the simple, to the what? To the young man, knowledge and discretion. What a wonderful statement. Teenagers, if you are not in the book of Proverbs, you're in big trouble as a Christian. You need to be in the book of Proverbs. And it's wonderful how God designed it. 31 Proverbs for 31 days. Amen. A proverb a day keeps the foolishness away. So as we spend time in the Word of God, we can get wisdom. Let me encourage you to be in the book of Proverbs at least one proverb a day. Why? Because we must get it. It is more important and more precious than everything else. We need the mind of God, not just when we're old, but when we are young. Amen. We need the mind of God. Look, you can be grey-headed and you can be old in age, but it doesn't necessarily mean you are wise. Because wisdom is truth believed and then accepted and put down into your life, applied to your situation, applied to your decision. That's why we must get wisdom. And God says, get it. Get it quick. Get it early. Make sure you don't think that it's hidden and unavailable. And we need the Lord. Please don't have the attitude that she'll be right, mate. That is not a spiritual attitude. Amen? She'll be right. Do you realize that? You know? We ought to be thankful to be Australian. But that's not a spiritual statement. She'll be right. God is in control. That is a spiritual statement. Amen? God knows. His word is truth. God will show me the answer in His timing. But we need to continually, over our lifetime, get wisdom. Know what God says. Put His wisdom down into our life. We must do it. And here's one of the reasons why we must get wisdom. We must get wisdom because there are great dangers to not getting wisdom. You see, if we stay as we are, we start to walk down already that dangerous path. You may think, okay, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'll be fine. But the book of Proverbs, it says, tells us that is the first step down the path to destruction. Let's look at, secondly, at the dangers of not getting wisdom. Notice Proverbs chapter number 2. Proverbs chapter number 2, verses 10 to 15. God tells us, this is one of the examples of many places where God describes the dangers of not getting wisdom. Verse 10, the Bible says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. You see, if we put God's wisdom down into our life, the Bible says we will have discretion. Discretion. What does that word discretion mean? The word discreet. It means the ability to make right decisions. That's right. To judge. The ability to make right decisions. To be discreet. Not to be foolish. Not to just jump into it before knowing what God wants us to do. But to be discreet. I know what God wants me to do. Therefore, I will do it. That's what He wants us to do. That's how we live by faith. But you see, the danger of not getting wisdom is that we do not have discretion and we cannot be protected from the dangers in life. Notice verse number 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. You see, the Bible tells us now about a path to destruction, doesn't it? The way of evil man. Now, He's not talking about a specific person this evening. Can you see that in the Scriptures? Would you agree God isn't talking about a specific person? He's speaking about a specific way. The way of the wicked. The way of the world. The way of sinners. The way of unrighteous. The unrighteous. So if we are putting wisdom into our lives, God's going to protect us from that way. We will have discretion to not choose that path. To keep away from it. And brethren, we need to understand it's so easy to walk down the wrong way. It's so easy to walk down the wrong way. Now, here's one step down that path. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that, what's the next word? Speaketh froward things. What is God speaking about? He's speaking about ungodly advice. Worldly advice. Isn't that right? Who speaketh froward things. The word froward, in fact, means to be perverse. It means to be false. A truth that is twisted. And brethren, we live in a world that is full of lies. Would you agree? You can say amen. 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 The world is lying to us every day. And if we listen for too long, before you know it, we're walking down the wrong path. And that's why we need wisdom. We need God's Word. We need to make decisions based upon the wisdom of the Word of God. And so many Christians' lives, the moment of the most important decision in their lives is based upon so often what the world does and not what God says. Isn't that true? We base our decisions on what the world does and not what God says. And if we follow that path leads to destruction. He wants us to have discretion. And God will deliver us from that way. From the ungodly advice in verse number 12. Notice verse 13. Verse 13. He'll protect us from walking away from the Lord. Verse 13. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now that is interesting. Not just walking in the ways of darkness, but leaving the paths of uprightness. What a warning. What a warning that there are two paths. The upright path and the path of darkness. The path of the righteous and the path of the wicked. And God says if we are getting wisdom, we'll stay on the right track. Amen. But if we are not, then we are in danger of following down the wrong path. Walking down the wrong path, the ways of darkness. Now, as a Christian, now you can say amen. We cannot lose our salvation. Amen. We cannot lose our salvation, but we can walk down the wrong path. We can walk down the path of darkness by our choice. And the Bible says here to walk in the ways of darkness. Verse 14 says, who rejoice to do evil. Evil is simply departing from that which is right. And thankfully, we have the light of God's Word to lead us down the right path. So, brethren, which path are we walking on? Well, if we're getting wisdom, God is going to keep us on the right path. Amen? He's going to keep us in the right place. He's going to move us down the right track and keep us moving forward for His glory. But the dangers of not getting wisdom is that we will listen to the ungodly advice of the world of wicked men. The next step will be departing from the path of righteousness and starting now to walk on the wrong path. Isn't that right? So we've listened to advice. We're starting to walk down the wrong path. Notice verse number 14. Suddenly there comes a blindness to sin. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. The Bible says whose ways are crooked in verse 15, and they froward in their own paths. You see, the Bible tells us that this one is rejoicing in their sin because they are completely blinded to it. They rejoice. They delight in evil and sin. The Bible warns us in the book of Hebrews that there is pleasure in sin for how long? So you and I can rejoice in sin. It is possible. We can walk down the wrong path and think we're walking along the right path because here comes the blessing. The blessing of God. The pleasure. But then we don't realize, and we're blinded to it, that it's actually sin. That it is actually sinful. Because if we're not getting God's wisdom, the danger is we can become blinded to sin. We can become blinded to sin in our lives. And what I want you to see is this little on this little message of wisdom, that it is God's word that opens our eyes. Amen? His word is light to our eyes. His word opens our eyes and shows us the reality of our lives and our actions, and protects us from being blinded. And perhaps there's a habitual sin that you keep falling into, and you need to put God's wisdom down into your life in that area. Amen. Thank God, God shows us things, doesn't He? He shows us things. He shows us the sins we're struggling with. And then as we spend time in the book of Proverbs, for example, God will give you some wisdom for that area of temptation, that area of struggle. We need to get wisdom. The danger of ungodly advice. The danger of walking down the wrong path. The danger of being blind to sin. And then notice the next step down, verses 16 to 18. The destruction of sinful actions. Can you see that in these next verses? The destruction of sinful actions. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. Now we're in trouble. Even from the stranger with which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, and neither take they hold of the paths of life. Verse 20, that thou mayest, in wisdom, walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. Can you see where the wrong path ends?
Yep. Always.
Amen? Absolutely. The wrong path ends in sinful actions that lead to the destruction of the believer. When the strange woman is talked about again, the Bible says to not let her take you with her eyelids. Isn't that right, men?
Yes.
Don't let her take you with her eyelids. But she's attractive. Yes, but if you get wisdom, you understand, listen carefully, that her end is bitter than wormwood. That her steps go down to hell. That's what the Bible says. And that many strong men who have not gotten wisdom have been taken by her. And if we as men get wisdom from the word of God, and we see the strange woman as God sees her, what happens? We see, I know what she's doing. I can tell what she's trying to do. She's flattering. She's flirting. I'm out of here. Amen? But the flesh is weak. So if you and I are not getting wisdom, then we're in trouble. Ladies, the same thing it applies to you today. We not only have strange women today, we've got strange men. We've got adulterers and adulteresses, is that correct? That are after the precious life. And if we don't get wisdom, we forget that that innocent flirtation is an agenda, is a danger. Start to listen to the words. Start to head down the wrong track in our minds. Start to be blind to the sin, and then the destruction comes. Can you see the danger this evening? Very simply, of not getting wisdom. Young men, you need wisdom. Men, we need the wisdom of the Word of God. Ladies, you need God's wisdom. There are great dangers in this world, but I'm thankful for verse number 16. What is the second word? To
deliver
thee. Amen? God will deliver us time and time again if we grow in His Word. The word deliver means to escape. Doesn't mean to be touched. Doesn't mean to be tarnished. Doesn't mean to be defiled. It means to completely escape from temptation. It means to completely avoid any sin and scar of sin in your life. That is what the Word of God will do for you and I. That's why we need to get wisdom. We must get wisdom. And there are great dangers for staying as you are this evening. So the question is, are you getting wisdom? Are you getting wisdom? I trust this evening you'll have a greater desire to spend time in the Word of God and say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, I need you. Amen. He will always answer that prayer of the heart. Because if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. Which giveth to all men liberally. Now, we're going to close by looking at some reasons why we don't get wisdom. You might say, Pastor, I'm in church. That's right. Pastor, I read my Bible. Good. I spend time in the Word of God. But there are some reasons that the Book of Wisdom gives us why we may be under His Word, in His Word, open to His Word. But if we're not careful, we won't get it. We won't get it. Notice thirdly, the reasons why we don't get wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, back where we started. Notice verse number 5. The Bible says, get wisdom, get understanding. What is the next word? Forget it not. Forget it not. Do you realize that God can speak to us through His Word and we can forget it? We can forget the Word of God. The word forget means to forget from want of memory or attention. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart. That means down in the depths of our heart. Not just surface level mental understanding. Not just a glimpse of something in the morning in our quiet time and go, okay, that's important. What was that again? Later in the day. No, it's putting it down into our heart. You know, it's writing on that little chalkboard you received, ladies, at the ladies' meeting. And writing it down and putting it on your table or somewhere where you can see it. And you're memorizing that verse. Or you're singing that verse, amen, and claiming it as a promise of God. And you're saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to claim this as a truth. I'm going to put it down into my life. But so often, the reason why we don't get wisdom is because we're careless. We're careless. We forget it. We forget it. Now, how many times have you and I been talking to someone and we get to a point in the conversation and we forget what we've been talking about and why we started this conversation? And it happens to all of us, doesn't it? You know, we are imperfect. We are desperately in need of the Lord. And so often we just simply forget. So if you and I don't make an effort to put wisdom down into our lives, we can easily forget it. Look, if you come into church unprepared to receive something from God and not hungry and just here because you think you have to be here, you're not going to remember anything when you walk out. Amen? And it's to our shame. And God says, look, I give wisdom to you liberally. I'm not saying I'm the woman crying out at the gates, but the reality is God's word is. It's crying out to you and I. And if we are responding correctly, we won't walk out of church forgetful, with a careless attitude, not paying attention, falling asleep. Amen? If we value the Word of God, then we'll be awake in the morning. We will. We'll be awake in the morning. We'll be hungry. You might fall asleep later on because you're tired. You didn't have a good sleep that night. That's understood. But we'll be hungry. There'll be a spiritual desire beyond your physical weakness. Because you know how important this is. You know you need the Lord. You want to walk with the Lord. And so often we are forgetful because we're careless. We're careless. We're careless. Let me encourage you not to be a careless Christian. Make sure you take notes in church. Now there are some sheets on the table. They've been there for many years. Sermon notes. Why? Because when God gives you wisdom, shouldn't we write something down? Shouldn't we say, hey, that's for me. You don't need to show me. I don't want to know unless you desire to share that. Amen. But write something down. What did God speak to you about? Friend, if God didn't speak to you, then you've got a careless attitude. You've already come here unprepared to hear something that God wants to say. Let me encourage you to have a diary. Pastor, the Bible doesn't say have a diary when you have a quiet time. I know. It says get wisdom. Amen. Forget it not. If you don't write it down, you're going to forget it by the end of the day. If you don't write it down, you're going to miss it. And you and I can go through years and years and years of quiet time with the Lord and have nothing to show for it because of a careless attitude. Okay, I've done my Bible reading. All right, off I go. Next thing. And God says, are you getting wisdom, Christian? It's one of the reasons why you and I are not getting wisdom, because we have a careless attitude. Because we are not attentive to God's word. Let me encourage you to understand that wisdom is more precious than rubies. All the things that can be desired are not to be compared to her. We need God's word. We need to spend time with God. There's the careless attitude in verse 5. Notice back in chapter 4, the rebellious attitude. Now, we can forget her, but notice what the Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 5. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Interesting statement. We understand what forgetting means. Being careless. Not putting the word of God down into our lives. Not paying attention. But the word decline is a deliberate choice to bend away. That's what it literally means. To bend away. You know, God says something. And what do we say? Whoa. That's not for me. That's too much. I don't want to join myself to that kind of church. Amen. Or I don't want to become that kind of Christian. The word decline means to bend away, to put far from. Essentially, it means to reject the word of God. So when God speaks to you and I in an area of our lives that we need wisdom, the only way we're going to get it if we don't decline from it. We don't decline from it. And there are so many excuses we come up with. We read it and we say, that's not for me. That's for someone else. Isn't that an excuse our flesh has? And we start to think about that person who we can share this wisdom with. We say, oh, that's a good verse. Next Sunday, I'm going to share that with Sister So-and-so. Amen. Maybe I can be an encouragement to them. And we miss the fact that we ourselves have declined from it. And that's what the Bible calls hypocrisy. When we are not doing what we should do, but telling others to do that which we would not do. And so we decline from it. And that is a choice. To say, that's not for me. Yes, it is for you. Yes, it is. To avoid the path of darkness, the way of the unrighteous. And so we need to be careful of our sinful flesh that will decline from the word of God. Not listening to the flesh, but listening to the spirit. Here's another one. Well, that's pastor's opinion. That's pastor's opinion. Now, when it's my opinion, I usually say, that's my opinion. Amen? But then when it's the word of God, it is God's word. And we have so many excuses. We say, oh, well, that's pastor's opinion. Well, that's what they do in independent Baptist churches. And what are we doing? We're finding an excuse to decline from the word of God. No, that's not for me. So therefore, we won't get wisdom that way. We'll be led into trouble. Brethren, a rebellious attitude declines from wisdom. Neither decline, what does God say? From the words of whose mouth? My mouth, God says. My mouth. God says my mouth. If we understand it's from my mouth, his mouth, therefore, we need to take it seriously, don't we? We need to be serious, young people. If God says that evil communications corrupt good manners, if God says that we need to be very, very careful about who we become friends with, that is serious. That is serious stuff. And he gives us that wisdom. We need to put it down into our lives to avoid heading down the path of destruction. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm right. No, you're not right. You need to get wisdom and get it quick before it's too late. You see, declining from it is going to cause us not to get wisdom. So say no to God. What has God been speaking to you about recently? Now we can come up with all sorts of reasons to say no. Some of them are spiritual. No, I don't want to do that. And we come up with a spiritual reason, but God continues to say, yes, this is the way I want you to go. This is the choice I want you to make. This is what I want you to do. And we continue to decline. Therefore, we don't get wisdom. And God simply says, what is it going to take for me to get your attention? What is it going to take? He will work in our lives to get our attention. But the best choice that you and I can make is to say, yes, Lord, according to your word, that's what I'm going to do. Lord, my feelings are really all mixed up about it. I wouldn't naturally make that choice to make that decision in my life in this area or that area. Lord, it doesn't make sense to me. But Lord, these are the words of your mouth and I'm going to put them down into my life. And therefore, I'm going to get wisdom and I'm going to stay on the right path. Amen. That's where I'm going to be as a Christian. So, brethren, don't have a careless attitude. Don't have a rebellious attitude. And lastly, don't have an attitude that quits. Notice verse number 6. Now, you can forget wisdom. You can decline from wisdom. Notice verse 6. You can forsake wisdom. The word forsake means to loosen. It means to let go. It is a choice of giving up, refusing to commit. And this is the third reason why we don't get wisdom. We may be in the Word of God, but if we have this attitude of giving up, then we will not be able to get God's wisdom. God says, don't forsake my truth. Don't forsake my word. Have you ever gotten to the point where you say, I'm so confused about what to do, I just feel like giving up? Have you ever been there before? I'm so overwhelmed by this trial, this testing, or this decision I need to make, I don't know where to look. I don't know what to do. And so many options are available, and I'm thinking to myself, what do I do? That is an overwhelming time in our lives. Maybe you're going through something like that right now. Lord, what do we do? And the solution is not to forsake everything and make a choice willy-nilly. Just choose one path. Let's see where it goes. No, God wants us to get wisdom. And if we ask of God, He will give it to us liberally. That means without holding back. He'll pour it out upon us. But it may not be the answer we want. It may not be the answer we want. And God doesn't want us to forsake His wisdom. He doesn't want us to sit with our arms crossed and block our ears and say, no, I don't want to hear anything but what I want to hear. Amen. God doesn't want us to put our Bibles to the side and say, OK, all right, that's not working. Let's try something else. OK, I didn't hear what God wants me to do in church on Sunday. So maybe I won't keep coming. I'll stop coming. I'll stop praying. I'll stop seeking the Lord. You see, there is another attitude there in the Word of God that prevents us from getting wisdom. Forsaking it. When a fellow Christian, a counselor, someone gives us wise counsel and we forsake it. We forsake it. Well, that means we untie it. It's no value. Drift away like a boat on the marina. You don't want it there anymore. Get away as far as possible. OK, I don't want that. Well, that's forsaking God's wisdom. That's forsaking God's wisdom. We need to stay in His word. And thank God, though, there are times that we forsake His word. We forsake His wisdom. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So He is constantly seeking to show Himself to us, reveal Himself to us, to give us His wisdom in His word. So this evening, we've learnt that we must get wisdom. Is that right? There is no other option. The only other option is the dangerous path of not getting wisdom. Listening to ungodly advice, starting to walk on the path of darkness, blinded to sin, and headed to destruction. How many of you would like that to be your path this year? Well, none of us. Absolutely not. Well, there's your answer. We need to get wisdom. And the dangers of not getting wisdom should shake us up to understand the reasons why we're not getting it is because we are careless with what God says. We often decline from it, make excuses about it, and we are against what he says, and then we forsake his word. We need to come back to the word of God. Now, for the sake of time, we're going to look at the rewards of getting wisdom Wednesday night. We're going to look at the rewards of getting wisdom. Let's do that. So if you're here in church on Sunday, let me encourage you to come Wednesday night. Amen. Let's look at the rewards of getting wisdom. We see that in the word of God. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. We're going to look at these things on Wednesday night. We've seen the dangers, but what are the rewards? Remember, she is much more precious than rubies. Much more to be desired. God says, if you get wisdom, watch out. My blessing is coming your way. And you will enjoy the richness of the Christian life more than you have in the past. But the question is, are we prepared to get wisdom as God's people? I trust you will respond with a big answer to God. Yes. Yes, Lord. And may that flow out into our week to come by spending time in the Word of God. By opening his word and saying, Lord, what would you have to show me today? What are some promises that I can claim? What are some sins that need to be confessed? Lord, what are some dangers to be avoided today? God will show us in his word. Are we willing to get it? I trust that we are.